Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
Let's get your books and turn to page 390. Let's everybody stand and sing. There's power in the blood. Sing it out now. On the first, would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. Sing, there is power, power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. Yes, there is power, power, wonder working power in the precious blood. Sing the second. Would you be free from your passion and there's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. See, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Yes, there is your King. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. Sing, there is power, power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. Yes, there is. Say amen. Amen. Amen.
Brothers. Amen. We may be seated. I was going to recognize all those that helped in VBS, but I'm going to wait till next Sunday. The reason I'm going to do that is there's a good many that did help in VBS that are not here today because of sickness or traveling or so forth. And so I don't want to overlook those folks. But I tell you, I really do appreciate everyone and the time effort that was put into VBS this year. We had three beautiful souls saved. Amen. And that, folks, I want you to understand that we do not squeeze professions out of these children. We really work hard to make sure that young children understand clearly the concept of Christ and what He did for us on Calvary's tree. And so we've seen some wonderful results this week. And I tell you, it just went off without a hitch. And we appreciate each and every one of those that helped and participated. But most of all, we thank the Lord for showing up and changing the lives of three wonderful children. Amen. Well, let's go and let's have the offering right now, please. I apologize for running late this morning, but we had some things we had to get done earlier in the day, and so it threw me behind. But it's good to be here. And y'all remember, if you would, Willis had a rough night last night. That's why the McCartys aren't here, Denise and John aren't here, because he had a difficult time last night. Folks, we have about a dozen families that are out traveling this week, so let's really keep them in prayer. Ask the Lord to keep his protecting hand on them. And Brother Allen, yes. Okay, Miss Carol's not feeling well, so let's keep her in prayer. Brother Allen, if you would, just go ahead and pray for us, please, sir.
Amen. Like Brother Alton said, this week we had a wonderful, wonderful time in Vacation Bible School this year. Our theme this year was Over the Moat. Over the Moat. So it was a castle theme, and it was fantastic, and they got the word. And like he said about that, we didn't force nothing on them. We had them three children that came to got saved. They actually came to found us. They came and found us. And we wasn't forced on them and all that, but they, when we got done, one of them come and found me right after class and after a lesson, and they said, Brother William, I think I'm ready. And so, and Miss Linda Murphy, one of them was one of the little girls that you had on the bus, Lacey. Yes, ma'am. And so, so that was one of them, and hey, and wasn't that good? Amen. But I want to talk about this real quick. And we had a war, kind of not a war, but we had a little, it ended up being a war. It ended up being a war. Y'all come here. And so it ended up being boys against girls in the money war. And so we had a big scale. No, we don't cheat. And
bitter losers,
yeah. But we had a scale, and we had the buckets on it where it would go, teeter-totter, so the weight. And so the first night, the boys won. Woo-hoo. Second night, girls won. Third night, the boys won. Woo-hoo. Third night, fourth night, girls won. But this is for a grand total. Now this is the girls' totals for all four nights. $268.35. But the boys, $313.03. For a grand total this week. Now listen, for a grand total this week of $581.52. And so that is this is all literally pretty much, some of it, but a lot of it was the children bringing offering.
So we're going to start this next Sunday. I haven't asked
you. So
we'll go this side versus this side.
And so, we got big scales and bucket. But we did. We had a great time, and I'm just going to go ahead and tell you that we won. I'm not boasting, but we did win. So, boys, we got it. And since Miss Beth ran away when we got hit with water, we're going to hit her again with water because she ran away. But I do have this, though. Hold on a minute. Did y'all see my ribbons? This is what they got all week long. This is what we did all week long, and this was an example. The orange ones for each night that you attended, and so you should have had four of them. But then the colorful rainbow ones are for the how many visitors you brought, so they would get for each visitor. And the purple ones, it was for the memory verses. For the memory verses, of how many memory verses they said. Do we have the winners for the memory verses over there? For the tweener class, the older class. So y'all stand up, the winners. And the other classes. And Marley won. Do we have any more of the winners for the? And they had them. Their ribbons were long, and they did very good. You're gonna see. We're gonna show you a video of the week. All right. So we're gonna do that now. And it was a blessing this year, and we had a blast. It was fun, and the kids learned a lot. And roll the video, Clint. Kim.
Every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear. Laughter hides their silent cries. Only Jesus hears. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end.
I want the choir to try and do this morning, "The Closer I Get to the Cross," if you would.
Fear of what I once again in solitude, my soul is unfulfilled.
Then I step through the crowd and step toward the hill. The closer I get to the cross, the more I clearly see the holiness of you and the sinfulness in me. There's a beauty in the agony that draws me to this place. The closer I get to the cross, the more amazed I am by grace.
There are times I want to turn my head so I don't have to face the truth of everything you've done for me and what I've done to you.
But here my eyes are open and it breaks my heart to know just how deep the roots of all my failures grow.
The closer I get to the cross, sinfulness in me. There's a beauty in the agony that draws me to this place. The closer I get to the cross, the more amazed I am by grace. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord,
I get you.
when I'm tossed, oh, it sends out a love that I might see, and the light that shines in darkness now will safely lead me on. If it wasn't for that light, this ship would be no more. And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him, for Jesus is the lighthouse. And from the rocks of sin, He has shone. That lives around us, they say, just quit having VBS, quit doing all this small stuff. It's the big churches, it's the big places. That's where it's at. It's not in these small places. The Lord's not moving the way that He used to anymore in these small churches. You need to be with the big stuff. But I'm glad today that a lighthouse shines at Westside Baptist Church. There's souls being saved around this place. It's worth all the time. It's worth all the effort. It's worth all the pain. The tired hearts and spirits, we appreciate everything you do. And more than anything, the Lord appreciates what we're doing here at Westside Baptist Church. And I'm just going to tell me where this ship is. And I thank God.
Praise the Lord. The Lord's good. He's great. You know that? I want to challenge you this morning. If you're here at Westside Baptist Church and you cannot recall a time where the Holy Spirit tapped on your heart and showed you that you were in need of a Savior, a sinner on your way to hell, I trust before you get out of here today that you'll come to know the Lord, that you'll have a personal engagement with Him today. I thank God that He saves, I thank God he saves the alcoholic, the drug addict. Thank God he saves the prostitutes, and the murderers, the liars, amen, the thieves. He even saves the homosexuals and the adulterers and the fornicators. He loves you and he wants to save you. He loved you so much that he died on the cross for your sins. I'd be honest with you, I don't know of anyone in my lifetime that's ever had to lay their life down that I could live another day. Don't believe I've ever been in that position in this physical life, but spiritually, I've been in that position. And I would have busted hell wide open upon my physical death. I would have experienced an eternal spiritual death if Jesus Christ had not jumped in the way and took the death penalty for me, for you. So if you don't know Christ as your Savior, if you do not have that relationship with him, please do not leave Westside today without knowing Jesus. We've got people here that will take the Word of God and show you how to be saved. If you would take your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes, if you would, for a moment, just turn to chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I want to talk to you just for a few moments, if I may, on a subject that I believe is a critical subject. It's a simple subject, but yet I don't know if there's ever been a time, I don't believe there's ever been a time, where this subject matter has become as critical as it is in this day and this time. While I was actually reading my Bible and studying, I wasn't here at the church. I was sitting in the living room with the rest of the family, and not sure what was on TV, just to be honest with you, because I wasn't paying attention. But there was a commercial, and the fellow on the commercial said something like this. He said, "Time is our most limited commodity, so spend it wisely." Well, I tell you, that caught my attention. And in doing a little research, I found that most people spend 25 years, if they live to be 78 years old, they spend 25 years sleeping. They spend roughly 10.3 years working. Women spend 17 years of their lives trying to lose weight. That's not being funny. I think it's kind of funny, actually. But I'm not trying to be funny. This is what the study says. You watch TV for over 9.1 years. You spend 2 years watching commercials. And here's a statistic I didn't know you football fans may want to hear. But a three-hour NFL broadcast only has 11 minutes of actual game time. That blows my mind. You spend a little over 1.1 years of your life cleaning. Now, for some of you, that's a little less. For some of you, it's a little more. You spend 3.5, almost 4 years eating. And by the way, the total food consumed during that time is somewhere around 35 tons. That's just added bonus. You drive a car for 4.3 years of your life, which I think that in the Atlanta area is way low. You spend 1.5 years in the bathroom. And some of you may exceed that a little bit. You spend, I'm just going to give it to you, folks. Some of them I couldn't give you, I'll be honest with you. You spend 92 days on the toilet. You spend 70% of our waking life, 70% of our waking life in front of digital media. You laugh 290,000 times in your lifetime, roughly 10 times a day. You walk a total of 110,000 miles. That's an equivalent around of walking around the world 4 times. You spend 90% of your time indoors. That's 71 years out of your 78.6-year lifespan. You spent 14 days of your life kissing. Some of you men wish it were more. Women spend nearly 1 year deciding what to wear. And that's in the first year. The women spend 8 years of their life shopping. Women spend 1.5 years of their life doing their hair. An office worker spends 5 years sitting at a desk. The average employee spends over 2 years sitting in work meetings. Now, that's pretty informative. But can I just ask you to do some quick math? Today, the average individual that claims to be a Christian spends around 4 hours a month in church. Hello? That means in a year, according to my little mathematized mind, that's around 36 hours. Is that right? Is that right? Huh? 48 hours. See? Now, take your 48 hours, multiply that over 78 years, and determine how many years you spend in church. One man that's a mathematician, he said that he came up with 1.5 years in church. Now, folks, that's not bad unless you consider the fact that we're spending that much time doing our hair. We're spending as much time doing our hair as we are spending on God and His house. When we consider the fact that 3 years of our lives is consumed watching television, and that is only considering to be at 2.8 hours a day, this should shake us and awaken us to the need for revival in our churches. Time is important. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 actually tells us to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and this is making reference like stones out of a garden, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to rend, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. The most wise man in the world, the wisest man that's ever lived, wrote these things in the latter part of his life, in his old age, after he had lived, made his mistakes, had fallen, had been chastised, and now he opens chapter 3 with these words of wisdom in every one of these verses, multiple times, refers to time. Time is important, O Christian. There's the time of trouble in our lives. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. There's a time when we're afraid. Psalm 56:3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And don't forget that David was very afraid here, because this was written in relation to David's escape to Gath, which was Goliath's hometown, when Saul was seeking to kill David. So David was jumping out of the pan and into the fire. He was afraid. But what did he say? I'm afraid, but I will, in the times that I'm afraid, trust in you. Christians, there are times of fear, and we must trust in God. The time is short. We need to remember that. In Psalm 89, the question, how long, Lord, wilt thou hide thyself forever? Shall thy wrath burn like fire? Remember how short my time is. And then in James 4:14, whereas ye know, as ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. So time is becoming more and more important, because our life, if I'm 52 years old, I've been here for just over 50 years. I have less vapor to dissipate than I did 50 years ago. And many of you are younger than me, and many of you are older than me. But our lifespan, whatever God chooses it to be, is becoming shorter and shorter, even as we sit in the pews this morning. I want us to break down our lifetime in minutes. Remember Dr. Leslie Weatherhead in his book, Time for God, has a mathematically calculated schedule which compares a lifetime of 70 years with the hours of a single day from 7 in the morning to 11 o'clock at night. If your age is 15, the time of your life is 10:25 a.m. If you are 20 years old, the time of your life is 11:34 a.m. If you're 25 years old, the time of your life, you are at 12:42 p.m. If you're 30 years old, the time is 1:51 p.m. If you are 35 years old, the time of your life, you are at 3 p.m. in the afternoon. If you're 40, the time is 4:08 p.m. If you're 45 years old, your time is 5:16 p.m. If you're 50 years old, the time, your time is 6:25 p.m. If you're 55 years old, your time is 7:34 p.m. Are y'all listening to me? If you're 60 years old, the time is 8:42 p.m. If you're 65 years old, the time of your life is 9:51 p.m. And if you are 70 years old, based on this timetable of 7 a.m. to 11 p.m., you are at 11 p.m. When you break it down in this way, it should help us to realize where we are on our possible timetable of life. Ephesians tells us the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Now, did you hear this? Proving what is acceptable to the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, remember, we are limited on time in doing what is acceptable to God in our Christian walk. I like what verse 15 says. It says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, upright, if I may say, not as fools, but as wise." The book of Ephesians, the author is telling us here to be wise with our time, because our time is short. Napoleon, the great warrior, he understood the significance and the importance of time. Before he met his Waterloo, Napoleon once planned a whole campaign between the acts at a theater play. The curtain would close, and he would plan in that short span of time while they were resetting the stage, he planned an entire campaign for a battle. He didn't do as many do even today. Look, folks, I'm not against a good nap. Amen. I think Sunday afternoons is a great time to take a nap. But old Napoleon, he was so productive and successful. He, while everyone else was sleeping, he was poring himself over maps and theories of battle and preparation of battle. And because of that, until one day he got a little sloppy, a little arrogant, which is also always the time before our fall, he was successful in what he did, And what he did was not allow any time to go to waste. He utilized his time properly. I want to say to the Christians today that it is time that we wake up. We had three precious souls saved, and it did not happen by chance. It happened because there were a group of people this week that said, I will take my time to expose these children to Christ. I'm not trying to pin a rose on anyone's nose. I'm telling you, I appreciate every one of those that worked so hard this week. But I want to mention Brother Barry and Miss Christie. Tuesday night, I think it was. It was their 36th wedding anniversary. 36th wedding anniversary. And many Christians would have said, well, that's our anniversary in 36 years, and I'm going to take my wife out, and we're going to do this because... on what God's got going on. And they were here on their anniversary night, chasing those little youngins around and keeping them in line. And the night of their anniversary, in their class, the first soul was saved in Vacation Bible School. Listen, God saved that little child because he loved that little child, but I'm convinced God saved that child on that night for Barry and Christie. I believe it. God rewards his children for their time and their effort, their sacrifice. And that's what it's all about. I don't know who did this, but I came back to the church. I had to leave early Friday, and earlier I wasn't able to get the banners down. I thought, well, I'm going to take those banners down when I come back. So that evening, Lisa and I drove over here to take the banners down. As we came over the little hilltop, the banners were already gone. I don't know where they are. I don't know who picked them up, who cleaned them up, who put them up, but I just want to say thank you. Thank you, Brother Barry, again. Amen. He's just everywhere this week, folks, I'm telling you. And all kidding aside, he's just utilizing his time wisely. Hello? Christians, this is time for us to wake up. Romans 14 says this, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Did you hear that, folks? We shall all stand at the judgment seat of Christ. The lessons to be found in these verses, one lesson is that we're not to be unjustly critical of a brother. The other is that we will stand before God. And if we really believe that we will stand before God, then we must come to the conclusion that there is an appointed time for us to stand before God. The problem is, Christians, is when we speak of standing for God, for some reason, we're thinking almost in a shadow of a possibility of tomorrow. But this thing of the judgment of God is not a shadow or a possibility. This standing before God is more real, more certain than the clothes you are wearing, than the house you live in, than the pews you sit on this morning. We are all going to stand before God one day. And we're going to give an account for what we do with our time. How, Christians, how can we spend almost 3 hours a day in front of the TV set but hardly spend that time in a month in God's house? Hello, Christians. Listen to me this morning. Time. It's time that we wake up. Time, Christians, that we wake up. James 14 tells us, whereas ye know that what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then it vanisheth away. Anybody ever cook here? I'm not talking to my wife. Put a little pot on the stove. You ever heard the old saying, a watch pot never boils? It sure does feel that way if you're waiting on it to boil, doesn't it? But it starts boiling, and man, that vapor starts coming off that thing. And it'll get about this high, and what happens to it? It's gone. You go out in the morning on a warm summer morning after the dew has fallen, and the sun hits that dew, and you'll start seeing that vapor coming off the grass. It'll get off about this high. It'll be gone. In God's eyes, that is just how short our lifespan is. And he's saying, you've got this much time. What are you going to do with it? Are you more interested in whining and dining than you are helping out in vacation Bible school? Are you more interested in the things of this world? Are you so hungry and consumed with the things of this world that God is now on the back burner? Preach it, Pastor. I will. Amen. It's time to wake up. Jesus Christ could split the eastern sky as we sit right here. You could drop your wallet and clothes and everything in these pews. And today, our judgment could start. And we would be given, have to give an account for how we spend our time. You know, maybe I said this a while ago. If I did, I'm going to say it again. Can you imagine our children, they see us spending 4.3 years behind the wheel of a car. They see us spending over 4 to 5 years in front of the TV set. They see us spending, I forget how many hours it was, just in traffic. In the Atlanta traffic, it's years and years and years. And that's just within the month, first month. Amen. But can you imagine our children growing up and seeing moms and dads or even grandparents? And they see grandparents spending all their time in these secular things. And the spiritual is pushed to the side to the extent where we can only give God 1 hour a week. I remember a preacher one time was preaching on tithing, giving 10% of your income to the Lord because it's his to begin with. But man, when you start talking about 10% of your time, that's unbelievable. I mean, if you just want to get right down to it, that's 2 hours and 40 minutes a day. I don't know if the average person has that much time a day to give to the Lord. But I will say this, if we gave it the old team try, it would change our lives and the lives of those around us. It would turn Westside Baptist Church upside down, but right side up. We'd see more children being saved. We'd see more children coming in on the buses and more little children accepting Christ on a weekly basis. Time, Christians, time. Say, preacher, but it's time to eat lunch. It's time to consider our time. I'm looking around, and I'm sure none of you are about to fall over from starvation. I'm sure you can hang on a little longer. So, Christians, it's time that we wake up. Think about this. Non-Christians, you don't know Christ as your Savior? It's time to wake up. It's time to wake up. 2 Corinthians says this, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. And in the day of salvation I have secured thee." Now listen to this. "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." When does an individual need to be born again? Today. I'm lost and undone. I'm on my way to hell. I've never accepted Christ as my Savior. I've never sought forgiveness for my sin. When do I need to be saved? Today. Ye must be born again. What's the ultimate day? What is that? Just let me look over here. Revelation chapter 20. And listen to the scene that's going to unfold before those that don't know the Lord as their Savior. Found in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. "And I saw a great white throne and him that sat upon it, for whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Ladies and gentlemen, what a horrible scene that every individual that's ever rejected Christ will be condemned to this second death where there's no end. What a horrible scene. But if I can, just for 1 minute, just take another minute of your time and let's reel it in and let's backstep 2,000 years. Let's look at that time when Jesus was born. Let's talk for a minute about that time when he walked this nasty earth. Let's talk just for a moment in time about his perfection, his holiness, his righteousness. Let's talk about this man, this God-man, God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, for that short period of time, for 33 and a half years, came to heal and to bless and to save. And then sealed it all when he died on the cross for your sin and my sin. Every sin that's ever been committed pre-cross and after the cross were nailed to that cross on that day. And the Lord Jesus Christ bare that sin. And that sin was your sin and my sin. Ladies and gentlemen, the time is now. If you're a born-again Christian, the time is to commit and to... It's okay to be a religious fanatic. We need to get to be a little fanaticized about Jesus. The world's a fanatic about their mess. Did anybody see see the interview where Mr. Sanders, our former Democratic presidential running individual, attacked the gentleman for being a Christian during an official government forum? Anybody see that? Absolutely. Attacked him for being a Christian. Hey, he doesn't mind. He doesn't mind pushing his agenda. We better start pushing ours. The time is right for that. Our agenda is not a political agenda. Our agenda is an eternal agenda to see the lost born again before it's eternally too late. But for the lost, for you that don't know the Lord as your Savior, the time is now for you. You must be born again. Today is the accepted time. Do not leave this building lost, because we have found in the Word of God today that we are not guaranteed tomorrow. We don't know when our vapor will cease to exist. This is where we are. It is time. Christians, every head bowed, every eye closed. Christians, it's time to make a decision. Christians, it's time to reach a level of commitment that we may not have met in a long time in our lives. But if you don't know Jesus this morning as your Savior, listen, you've got so much to lose. You've got so much to gain through Christ. But without Christ, you'll lose everything. The Bible actually asks that question. What does a man gain? What does he achieve if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What has he gotten? And the answer is nothing. Because everything we own one day will break down, tear up, and rot away. Christian, today, this is the time that we need to recommit. Let's all stand, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You may want to say, preacher, I want to commit to spending more time serving the Lord. I think it's time to spend more time for Jesus. Would you just raise your hand and say, preacher, I want to do that. Thank you so much. God bless you. Preacher, I want to spend more time for Jesus. Thank you so much. God bless you. But I want to ask you this, person, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, I'm not going to do anything to embarrass you. I'm not going to come grab you and try to drag you to the altar. But I want to pray for you. Would you raise your hand and say, preacher, pray for me. If I were to die today, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. We're going to sing. Christian, come commit. Lost person, come and let us show you how you can be born again today. Brother Wee.
Just as I am without
Lord, I want to commit more of my time to you.
But that
help me commit,
thy
God.
Blood
help me to commit.
Was shed for me, and that thou bidst
me, help me commit, God.
Come to thee.
This is the time, O Christ. This is the time.